Each and every one of you, this is our Christmas morning service. We're glad to have you here, especially you visitors. We're thrilled and excited that you are with us today. Stand together, 135. Joy to the world, 135. You're getting into the spirit, I can tell. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Brother Zimmerman, would you lead us, please, as we pray? Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And while you're being seated, we're going to ask Brother Johnny to be preparing to bring us a Christmas song this morning. I'm sure he's got one in his repertoire there. And while he's getting ready to sing, I want to welcome all of you to our services today. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that I'm here. Who would have known that between last Sunday when I stood here and today when I stand here that I would spend 4 days in a hospital with a heart attack? I had no idea that was coming on last week. I didn't know that was going to happen. Did you? Of course not. We never know what a day is going to bring forth, do we? And, one morning I was sitting there in the hospital bed. There's a picture of me on Facebook, food always around me, you know. And I'm sitting there. I've got my breakfast tray out here. Breakfast is on the tray. And all of a sudden I said, here I am all alone in this hospital room. Just me and sitting here in this food. And there was an empty chair across from me. And I thought, you know, if I hadn't have been in such a hurry Monday to get down here, I might could be a sitting at breakfast across the table from Jesus this morning. And then about the same time, there came another revelation to my mind. And it seemed like I could see the Lord Jesus sitting over there. And he said, I've been with you all the time. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. And I sat there and had the rest of my breakfast with Jesus. I'll tell you, you're not alone when you have the Lord with you. Sometimes you look at an empty chair and you can't see anybody sitting in it, but he's there. He's there. Anyway, it's good to be back. And the Lord answered your prayers. And I appreciate every prayer, every card, every visit, every call that you made. It was the greatest display in my life of affection, and I appreciate every bit of it. Please understand that. It comes from the depths of my heart. And it's good to be here today. I appreciate Brother Bryant taking our services last Wednesday night when I could not be here. And Brother Sam Burton was here last Sunday. Oh, I heard from him and Betsy yesterday. The telephone rang, and they called me from way down in Brazil. Got to talk to Ruthie, their daughter, our missionary down there. And it was good to talk to them, too. So, and by the way, they said, tell you all Merry Christmas, that they'll be thinking about all of us come Christmas Day. Okay? All right. We're going to ask Brother Johnny to come now and sing a song for us, and then we'll have another congregation song after that.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's doing fine today. You know what? You know, everybody's waiting for, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas morning to open up presents and everything. I already have my present. I've been having it for years. Amen. But my desire for this Christmas season, and if God's willing throughout 2014, is to get nearer and closer to my Lord Jesus. Let him work in me so that I might be strengthened to do his work according to his will. Amen. So this morning, to my Lord, I just say I want to get closer to you. Please, Sister Bob.
God created man, his work was not yet done. He's still long for us to know the glory of his Son. So he drew closer. He drew closer. Now the promise that he gave, his covenant to man, now even when the angels were, some could not understand, so he drew closer. Oh, he drew closer. from heaven to the manger, the distance disappeared. God is still close enough to whisper in our ears. Forgiveness can be found. And he draws closer. He draws closer. The way that Christ was born, the stable way he laid, just his birth alone could not erase our sin and shame. So we drew closer. Oh, now he drew closer. From heaven to the manger, all the distance disappeared. As God himself drew close to whisper in our ear, we didn't know it be how much we needed it. He drew closer. Lord, you are certain, you see. Draw closer to me. Lord, you are certain, you see. Please draw closer to me.
Please draw closer. That's what I want to do to my Lord this year. Lord. Lord.
Turn your hymnals to 151. 151, Silent Night, Holy Night. 151. One of the great hymns. Christian faith.
Silent, holy, all is calm, all is calm.
Christ the Savior. Jesus, Lord at my birth.
Brother Fred, he has a good song for us this morning. Appreciate that.
Thank you. Merry Christmas. We can say that here, especially. So I grew up a little bit here. Yep. Thank you, Doc. Thank you for letting me use our noise. Everybody away.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kissed your little baby, you kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creations? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. The great I am. The great I am.
This? Oh, you want this?
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
O little town of Bethlehem. The ushers will come forth for our offering right after we finish the last stanza.
Yet in the dark.
Brother Roger, would you lead us in our prayer, please?
Father God, again, we come to you with very grateful hearts. Lord, we thank you that pastors here much longer to continue to preach and teach your word and witness to us. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for we know you have more for him to do and say to us. Prepare each and every one of us for this time. Father, as we partake of this offering, we'd ask that you not only multiply it here in this corner, but the mission fields we support around the world, and we will be careful to give you all praise, honor, and glory. For it is in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Amen. We had an email this week from Brother Danny Layton over in Japan. And Danny sends Christmas greetings to each and all of you. Said tell you hi for him. He and his wife have bought a condo over there. And I've been collecting his mail ever since he left. And I have, honestly, a bushel basket full of mail. You'd be surprised how it accumulates. But he gets everything that you and I get in our mailbox addressed to us. All of these advertisements and things like that. And I tried once to send it over there. I packaged it up and put it in a big envelope. And it got over there and they couldn't find Danny in Japan anywhere, so they sent it back. And I have that in addition to what's come in ever since then. So he sent me another address. He said, I got some mail from Coronado at this address not long ago. He said, try it. Maybe the Japanese Postal Service can deliver it. And I haven't tried it yet because I was gone this past week. But oh, there's nothing in there with bills anyway. Danny doesn't care. He's out of the jurisdiction now. You know, they're not coming over there. They couldn't find him if they got over there.
Can you send my bills to him too, please?
Send me your bills. We'll forward them over to Danny. And also this past Thursday, Brother Roger DeLisle had his operation. And he has a brand new right knee. And he's came through surgery well. He has what they call pain that came along with it. Other than the pain, everything else is doing fine. But gradually, we hope that'll go away. And I'll tell you, I love the grit that guy has. It's a holdover from those old Marine days. You know, they called them jarheads and things like that way back under. And not going to get rid of it, yeah. He's going to do it again as soon as this one gets well. You got to wonder if a guy is straight up here, you know. But anyway, he's doing well. You keep on praying for Roger Yonder. He's going today, didn't you say, into in the rehab. That's it. So keep Roger in your prayers. Good to be here today. Glad that you're here. My mouth and all is a little bit dry. I have to drink some water. One of the new medications they put me on is called Lasix. Any of you ever had Lasix? You know that it drains the water out of your system. And so my mouth gets a little bit dry. There's nothing wrong with me. Just needs a little liquid lubrication. Amen? Yeah. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what? He gave. That's what Christmas is about. Christmas is for giving. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anybody and everybody, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Nine. You know, the giving and receiving gifts seems to have become an integral part of our Christmas. If you don't believe it, you ask any child. But this has led to a practice that really doesn't have much scriptural basis. Our tradition has become so corrupted and so commercialized and so materialistic that it has lost its significance as a religious holiday. And the general public, a lot of them are wanting to get rid of it. Oh, they like the day off for work. Don't misunderstand. But Christmas, well, that's something else. In fact, and this bothers me extremely, that in so many cities in America, through the efforts of the ACLU and a whole bunch of other atheistic organizations, no manger scenes are allowed anymore. Christmas trees are prohibited. The singing of Christmas carols is forbidden. And it's now Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not anti-Christmas. I'm not for eliminating Christmas as the celebration of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though we know that his birth was on April the 1st and not on December the 25th. I don't think we can change that at this late date, do you? December the 25th has been around as a birthday of Christ for 1,659 years. Ever since a fellow by the name of Liberius was Pope over in Rome of the Catholic Church back in 354 AD. That's when the decree went forth that the birth of Christ shall be on December the 25th. And so ever since that time, December the 25th has been celebrated as the birthday of our Lord. Now, there is no other time of the year that we can legitimately demonstrate our love and our appreciation for others as we can at Christmas time. And that's one reason why I like Christmas. Just don't overdo it. Filling your credit cards up with purchases that you really can't afford. If you try to keep up with the world, you're liable to find yourself in a financial mess. We don't want you to do that. Now, we give at Christmas, not because we feel obligated to do it, but because by giving we demonstrate a genuine love for others. God wants us to be joyful givers, and He wants us to delight in blessing others. Now, the Bible does not directly address our practice of giving gifts to one another and keeping them for a week, holding the children in suspense as they rattle the boxes under the Christmas tree. But the Christmas story indicates that everyone who was involved in the birth of Christ gave something to Him. It started back when Mary gave her body to bear the Son of God. Think about that. Read about it over in Luke, the first chapter. This young woman, engaged to be married, filled with joyous hopes and dreams, and God interrupted her plan for her life in a very disturbing way. She'd never had a baby before. She was not married. She didn't know what motherhood was all about. And here she is, engaged, and the angel Gabriel appeared to her. And he gave her God's suggested plans for her life. I mean, her life changed drastically. She's walking down a completely different road now that God has appeared to her. They're contrary to her own plans, that's for sure. But Mary laid aside her own plans and submitted herself to His. A life-changing plan. She yielded her life to the Lord's will, and she gave up her reputation. Now think of this. She's not married, and she comes up pregnant. Now today in our society, we look at it a little bit differently already. It's changed since I was a kid, I know that, because it used to be that if an unmarried girl became pregnant, that it was a disgrace and a shame. She brought reproach upon her family, upon herself, and that child carried the stigma for the rest of its life. But things are changing in America. It's really not that bad anymore here. But think what it must have been back in the day when Mary lived in a little city, a little town like Nazareth, where everybody knew everybody and everybody else's business. And here Mary comes up pregnant, and she's not married. And what about this fellow she was going to marry? He didn't know anything about it. The child wasn't his. He had to think about it a long time, and it took the direct intervention of God to get him to, you know, see the light. God said to him, "Hey, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. So that baby she's carrying is the Son of God." Wow, what a privilege for him to be the foster father, you might say, of God manifest in the flesh. A great responsibility. Now, Mary laid aside her plans and submitted to the plans of Almighty God. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And by that, did you notice that Mary was setting an example already for her son? When Gabriel told her this, she said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And further on down the line, we have Jesus, her son, in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's facing one of the greatest trials of his life. He's been praying 3 times. It takes him an hour to pray that prayer. He prayed in such agony that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. But what was he saying? "Father," he says, "if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." But what else? "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." That's the words of Mary when Gabriel appeared to her. "Be it unto me according to thy will." Thy will be done. Now Mary had the option of refusing, but she didn't. She willingly gave God her body, her life, into God's hands. But when you give yourself into God's hands, it's in a place, a safe place. And by giving God this gift of herself, she became, in the words of her cousin Elizabeth, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb." She gave her body to Jesus. All right? The baby's born, wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Nobody knows about it except Joseph and Mary. So God says, somebody's got to know about this. This is too great an event to keep secret. And he looked around, and the only people that he saw awake at that time of night were some shepherds out in the fields as they were watching their flocks by night. Now, the angel of the Lord, accompanied by a multitude of a heavenly host, appeared to those shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. They were surprised when they looked up and they saw this angel. He said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And then the heavenly choir began to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now, what was the response of these shepherds out in the field watching their flocks at night? This was a startling announcement. They're the first and now the only people in the world besides Joseph and Mary that knows that God is now with us. Emmanuel is come. The Bible says they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So now then, what the angel had announced to them in the fields, they have affirmed that it's true. And then what? When they had seen it, they didn't tell anybody. When they had seen it, They went back unchanged to their shepherding of the sheep in the fields. No, not at all. When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. What was that? Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. God chose these humble shepherds to be the first heralds of his coming. How wonderful. Well, somebody has to go and tell, so they volunteer. Now to the sinner that's lost, under the condemnation of death, this message of the shepherds can be the greatest gift ever given. Sinner, someone loves you. Someone is concerned about you. Someone cares. And you have been invited to spend eternity in heaven with God. How's that sound? Pretty good, isn't it? You bet it is. Now, that's not all. A little later, some wise men are going to come. And they're going to see Jesus. And when they come to see him, they too are going to bring gifts to him. Matthew chapter 2 tells about this. It's interesting because I was reading lately that these wise men from the East, now that's how they're described in the Bible. The Bible does not say how many of them there were. The Bible does not give their names. The Bible does not tell their origin or their nationality, whether they were Jews or Gentiles. But they're coming from the East. And over in the East, a bunch of Jews from Judea had spent 70 years in captivity over there back in 586 BC. And when deliverance time came, when the 70 years was expired, they were released and turned loose. And they went back, many of them went back to Judea and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem, rebuilt the temple, you know the story of that. But all of them did not return. There were a multitude of Jews that stayed over there in that country that we call Iran today. A multitude of them. And this article I was reading was talking about that. That rather than being Persians or Gentiles, as we're prone to think, and basically have been taught to believe, these men very well could have been Jews who had remained there after the captivity, men of God who had the Word of God, who had read the prophecies of God in their holy book, the men who had embraced the messianic hope, men to whom God appeared to guide them to Bethlehem with a star. So, I don't know whether they were Jews or Gentiles. Frankly, I don't guess it makes too much difference. But I just thought I'd throw that out at you anyway. But whoever they were, they had responded to their revelation by faith. They gathered up their treasures and they made that long trip to see God's anointed one, the messianic king of Israel. And the Bible says of these wise men, when they saw the young child with Mary his mother, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Mary gave her body. The shepherds gave their testimony. The wise men give him their gifts. But our text in John 3:16 says that God gave his only begotten Son. God is the giver and the recipients of his divine gift are people like you and me. Now, a gift is a present. It is not a reward. It is not a payment. And a gift must be received. If a gift is not received, it is not a gift. It's not a gift. It must be received. As a result of the Father's gift of his Son to us, everyone who believes in and accepts the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior receives eternal life. They get complete forgiveness and cleansing from their sins, and they get salvation and eternal life. Let me give you this personal experience. Back in the year 56. Get it right. Boy, that's a long time ago, isn't it? You got to have a good memory to remember things happened in 56. I was pastoring the Calvary Baptist Church, Fort Stockton, Texas. But I was living and working in Odessa. And 96 miles. I know exactly how far it is because I drove it so many times. 96 miles from my house in Odessa down to the church in Fort Stockton. And I didn't mind the drive. Gasoline wasn't so high back then, by the way. Every Sunday morning, I would get in my car and I'd tune my radio to the old-fashioned revival hour and listen to a wonderful sermon by a fellow named Charles E. Fuller, who preached from the Long Beach Municipal Auditorium out here in California. He became kind of like my pastor, you know. I couldn't miss him on Sunday morning. But this one particular day, he was preaching from Ephesians chapter 6. And his message was about the Christian soldier's armor, where he says, put on the whole armor of God. Remember that? He says, take the whole armor of God. And he says, there are 34 different Greek words that are translated take in our English Bible. 34 Greek words, different words, that are all translated into one English word. Take. Having your loins girt about with truth, take the breastplate of righteousness. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, take the shield of faith. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then Dr. Fuller got down to that verse and he says, take the helmet of salvation. And he explained that the word translated take, when it refers to the pieces of armor in the Greek, is analambano, A-N-A-L-A-M-B-A-N-O, translated take. In other words, it's like the pieces of armor are laid out here on a table, and you're going down that line, and you take that those pieces of armor, you take those shoes, you take the breastplate, you take the shield, you take the sword. They're laid out on the table for you. They're available to you. You just pick them up and put them on. Understand? Sure you do. You take it off the table and you put it on. But the word translated take, when it refers to the helmet of salvation, when he says take the helmet of salvation, is the Greek word dechomai, D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. A completely different Greek word, but it's translated take, just like the other. But it means something else. It means to receive from the hand of another. See where we're going? The rest of the armor, it's laying out here, it's available for you. You can take the sword, you can take the shoes, you can take the breastplate. But when it comes to the helmet of salvation, you reach out your hand and you receive it as a gift of God from the nail-pierced hand of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when Dr. Fuller said that, I started driving about like that and shouting, amen, hallelujah. I'll tell you, amen. Wonderful. Take the helmet of salvation. Helmet, God gives it to us. We receive it from his nail-pierced hand. Oh, I'll tell you. God demonstrated his love by giving us the gift of his son. We respond and we show our love by taking, receiving from his hand, appropriating his gift of salvation. And we show our gratitude to him for it by saying, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. John said, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. God is love, and the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. This is Christmas time, a time of giving. Not necessarily monetary gifts or expensive trinkets, but to give things that are valuable, lasting, to give of our time, to give of our attention. I came to realize that this past week when so many of you came out to the hospital and gave me a portion of your time. It was precious to me, and I love you for it. And we can give today. May God give us a heart that's filled with compassion and caring for others, because there are so many people in the world today that do not have a Savior. We need to be like the shepherds and tell them about Jesus. Anyway, I appreciate every one of you. Let's stand together with our heads bowed in prayer. Tonight we'll be having services at 6 o'clock, and by the way, on Tuesday night we'll be having our Bible study here instead of Wednesday night. Tuesday night will be Christmas Eve, and I thought that would be a better time for us to meet together than the next day, which is Christmas Day, to drag you away from your, well, let's see, by that time of day it would be leftovers, wouldn't it? And some of your company that's still hanging around. So Tuesday night, and it'll be the same thing on New Year's Eve, by the way. So tonight we're going to be talking about heaven. Heaven on earth. Think you'll enjoy it. We're going to have a verse of invitation, because somebody today needs the Lord. Somebody today came to church and there's a spiritual need in your heart, an emptiness there that God wants to fill. What's our number? We're going to sing a verse of invitation.
496.
As we sing this, will you come?
Jesus is calling you,
calling you,
calling today.
Again, appreciate your being here today. May the Lord give you a wonderful day. We are thankful for all of the visitors that are with us today. We didn't recognize each one of you independently, but we're just glad that you came and made up our wonderful congregation. As we're dismissed in prayer, will you lead us in prayer?
Our blessed Lord, we thank you so much for the gift that you gave on that first morning that's known as Christmas.
Amen.
We praise you and thank you again for your love, your grace, and your mercy bestowed so freely. And truly it was freely. Freely you gave. And truly, freely, we accept your Son as our Lord and our Savior, as our God. Bless each and every one in this Christmas holiday season, Lord, especially these of the family of God. May your grace be sufficient as we celebrate the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as a babe, as we celebrate his greatest resurrection and having received us into that family of God. We thank you again this day in Jesus' wonderful and lovely name for that gift. Amen.
Might.